My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm very excited to welcome my next guest back to the program. He has been researching the issue of died suddenly and what the embalmers found. And he has traveled all across the country going and doing in-person interviews with embalmers, literally from coast to coast. And I'm going to let you hear from him as to his background and why he started on this adventure. And then we'll get into some of the new information. He's been with us before. I want to welcome Thomas Haviland to the program. Tom, welcome. Good to have you with me. Thanks for being here.
Pastor Greg, thanks for having me back on the show to talk about this continuing problem of these white fibrous clots that embalmers are continuing to see.
They're bizarre. I mean, I know that one of the critiques, you know, people saw this and they thought, there's no possible way. How could they be pulling these kinds of things out? And then they came up with excuses for why they were there. Let's begin with, tell me a little bit of your story. You're retired military, correct?
Correct. I was actually fired from my job in October of 2021 for refusing to take the COVID-19 vaccine. I was a defense contractor working at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio, and the Joe Biden mandates came out, not just for the military and the government civilians, but for us defense contractors, too. I had done studying of the shot, and I realized by then good data was coming out of the UK that said that the shots were not stopping people from catching COVID or transmitting it. There were hundreds of thousands of breakthrough cases. I'd also seen some negative information about the side effects associated with the vaccine. So I decided it was not for me, and it cost me my job, but I'm sure I am glad that I didn't take it because, as we know now, this vaccine is causing a lot of problems around the world.
So talk to me about your interest in Died Suddenly. You watched Died Suddenly. You also watched the reactions of those that came out and said, oh, this is another one of those conspiracy theories. And people are really kind of making this stuff up. You even had, if I'm not mistaken, we had a few embalmers that tried to come out and say, oh, they'd never seen anything like this or what have you. Where did you begin your journey?
Yeah, I watched the film Died Suddenly when it premiered the week of Thanksgiving of this last year, 2022. So I watched the film on that Monday, and at the 13-minute and 15-second mark in that movie, an amazing statement's made, Pastor Greg. An embalmer from the state of Indiana, Mr. Wallace Hooker, who was speaking at an Ohio Embalmers Association conference this last October, he was lecturing to a room full of 100 embalmers, and he showed them photographs of these white fibrous clots that he's been seeing in his corpses for the last 2 years. And he asked those at the conference, by a show of hands, how many of you are seeing these same white fibrous clots? And almost the entire room of 100 embalmers raised their hands saying, yes, they did. Yeah. So then he asked them, well, when did you start seeing them? And the whole room agreed it was about in the middle of 2021, which just so happens to be after the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines.
Right.
So I thought that was an amazing statement in that movie. And so much so that the very next day, on that Tuesday of the week of Thanksgiving, I called the Ohio Embalmers Association myself. They're located in Cincinnati, Ohio. I talked to their president, Mr. Dan Becker, their vice president, Mr. Woody Wilson, and their secretary, Mr. David Hicks. And I asked all three gentlemen, did you happen to be in the room at the time that those embalmers supposedly raised their hands saying, yes, they're seeing the clots? Well, unfortunately, none of the three gentlemen happened to be in the room at the time.
Okay.
But the second vice president, Mr. Woody Wilson, who runs his own funeral home in Marysville, Ohio, it's about an hour north of where I live in Dayton, Ohio, and he does his own embalming. A lot of funeral directors do their own embalming. Woody told me, hey, I'm seeing the white fibrous clots too.
Wow.
So I said, wow, this is a big deal, right? We have an official officer for the Ohio Embalmers Association, the second vice president, saying that he's seeing the clots. So I decided right there and then that I had to do a survey, a nationwide survey, to see just how big this phenomenon was. And since that time, last time I was on your show, I've expanded it to a worldwide survey, Pastor Greg. I've actually included now Canada, UK, Australia, and New Zealand in the survey as well. And the results are shocking, Pastor Greg. Of the 179 embalmers that responded to my survey, 119 of them, almost exactly two-thirds, 66%, are indeed seeing these white fibrous clots in their corpses. So they're corroborating with these six or seven embalmers in that Died Suddenly film said they were seeing.
Now, some of these are saying that they're a protenaceous white clot. What does that exactly mean?
Yeah, the theory there is that they're a white fibrous clot. They're made of an amyloid protein, amyloid spelled A-M-Y-L-O-I-D. It's just a fancy term for a misshaped or misfolded protein. And we know that the COVID virus itself, by the way, has a spike protein on its surface. and can lead to the formation of these amyloid proteins. So there were some embalmers, in fact, 44 of them in the survey that I did, said they did start seeing the clots in 2020 when we had COVID but no vaccines yet. That spike protein on the surface of COVID can lead to the formation of these amyloid proteins. But also then, the majority of the embalmers, a much greater number, saw in 2021 and 2022 the white fibrous clots. And I believe it's due to the vaccines because, as you know, the vaccines were supposed to stay in your upper arm, produce just enough of the spike protein to elicit an immune response for just a couple days to a week or so. Well, we now know that's not what these vaccines are doing. They're staying in the body. They're going all over the body. They're turning your entire body into a spike protein factory. And they're doing this not just for a few days to a few weeks, but for months. So they're producing spike protein through the vaccine. And the scientists that I've talked to believe this has caused a supercharge effect on the formation of these white fibrous clots that I think are causing a lot of people to die suddenly, you know, keeling over with strokes and heart attacks.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, if your arteries are and such become so blocked by these fibrous materials that no blood flows through, that's a death sentence.
Well, and here's the really shocking stat. One of the last questions we ask in the survey is what percentage of your corpses have these clots? And of the 119 embalmers who are seeing the clots, 29 of them, actually 39 of them, are seeing the clots between 1 to 20% of their corpses. 29 of them are seeing the clots between 21 to 40% of their corpses, Pastor Greg. Another 30 embalmers are seeing these clots between 41 to 60% of their corpses. Can you believe that? And there's even 17 embalmers that are seeing these clots between 61 to 80% of their corpses. So this is not a rare phenomenon. This is quite common in what the embalmers are seeing. So when I got this, you know, when I had the USA portion of the survey done in January of this year, I actually sent the results of it to the FDA because I was so alarmed by the results that I was getting from these embalmers. And at that time, 88 embalmers out of 128 that were responding in the U.S., almost 70% were seeing the white fibrous clots at that time. So I sent that information to the FDA, to their Vaccine and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee for a meeting that they held on the 26th of January. I actually asked to speak at that meeting on the 26th of January, and unfortunately, they had an hour set aside for oral presentations. They picked 20 speakers to speak for 3 minutes apiece. I prepared a 3-minute presentation, but I was not selected as one of the 20 speakers. However, I was able to submit my results of my survey in a written format, and I did get a tracking number from the FDA. So they cannot now claim that they don't have this information. They know about the results of my survey and the fact that it's showing an alarming relationship temporally between the rollout of the vaccines and the explosion of these white fibrous clots. And then they also know about the high percentage of corpses that contain these clots. So it's the onus is on them and the CDC to get busy and start looking into this and solving the problem.
Well, here's just a couple of examples. There have, according to this report, been at least 69 athletes that collapsed in 1 month. This is an article published November 26, 2021. So we've known about this for quite some time. It's not as though this is, you know, something new and we're just now learning about it. We've known about it for quite some time. But in this, it says the mainstream media is curiously uninterested in this major global story. The German online outlet Wochenblick compiled a reference list of the cardiac incidents in October, while another online outlet, Granite Grok, published a new list of sportsmen collapsing on the field. Other outlets also listed these incidents, with some cases overlapping. But these do not include Filipino professional basketball star Reuter Cabrera, who on Wednesday collapsed during tournament play in Pasig City. The Tribune from the Philippines reported he had a cardiac arrest. He later lost consciousness inside the locker room before he was rushed to the hospital. There's another Icelandic professional footballer, Emil Pálsson, age 28. Who collapsed in the game with his club between Sogndal the second and Stairsdahl's Blink. As reported by the German Daily Bild, Paulsen collapsed during the game, according to Norwegian broadcaster NRK and the newspaper Verdens Gang. And according to his club, he had a cardiac arrest and had to be resuscitated. On November 24th, in the middle of the second half of the game between Reading and FC Sheffield United, Sheffield player John Fleck, age 30, suddenly collapsed. Another soccer star, Sharif Tiraspol Adama Traore, went down holding his chest during Champions League play against Real Madrid. In Montana, a Park City High School football player, Jed Hoffman, passed away this month after 1 week after collapsing on the field during practice. And then there are 69 references here, Tom, to individuals who passed away, and all of them are reportedly to have been introduced to the vaccine.
Yeah, in fact, a lot of them were required to. Their sports leagues require them to take the vaccine in order to participate in their sport. And the good news is I am starting to get a little bit of national attention with this story, Pastor Greg. Last Tuesday, I traveled down to Alabama and was interviewed by famous reporter Cheryl Atkinson for her nationally syndicated TV show Full Measure that she has. She interviewed both myself and embalmer Richard Hirschman, who does his trade embalming in the state of Alabama, and got our stories. And I think the show will probably air sometime around early September. I'm also in contact, and some of the Died Suddenly embalmers and other embalmers are in contact with a writer at the Epic Times who wants to do a big piece on the phenomenon of these white fibrous clots and the results of my survey. And you know, it didn't hurt the fact that the day before that we met Cheryl Atkinson to do our interview, was the Monday of last week, was the day that Bronny James had his heart attack. You know, an 18-year-old kid, the son of LeBron James, and going to play for USC's college basketball team this year,
yep,
went down with a heart attack. An 18-year-old kid, you know, athlete in perfectly good health. And then just several days before that, you know, Tori Kelly, the country western singer, was rushed to the hospital for emergency blood clots in her legs and around her lungs. So people are seeing it. As you say, there's just so many cases now of people dying suddenly or being rushed to the hospital with these strange blood clots that I think are linked to these white fibrous clots, obviously, that embalmers are seeing in high percentages in their corpses.
And Bronny James, Bronny James' teammate, Vincent Awuchukwu, also had a cardiac arrest during the off-season workout. So he's not, you know what I'm saying? I mean, even on that team, you have, you know, two players that should be in you know, excellent health. I was just sharing before we started at the end of last hour. You know, I am you know, recovering from this accident, which is a long term project. But I just got my blood work back, and I have excellent blood work.
And you haven't been jabbed, have you?
I have not been jabbed.
Amen.
I have not.
Good power of discernment there, Pastor Greg, your part.
I have not been jabbed, but all of my blood work is you know, fantastic. And for a person my size and with everything else going on in my life, for me to have this kind of blood work is really remarkable.
There was a strange case about a month ago. There was a bodybuilder. His name is Joe Lindner. Joe spelled J-O Lindner, L-I-N-D-N-E-R.
Yeah.
Joe Lindner. He was a kind of a famous YouTuber as well. And, you know, very conscious about his health and stuff. But unfortunately, his peers convinced him to get the jab. In fact, he had four jabs. And he was on a talk show a few months ago in June, and he was talking to another bodybuilder. They were kind of just hanging around on the couch talking to each other, and he mentioned the story to him about how he got peer pressured into getting the jabs, and they were kind of joking about it. But and he said that he had gone to his doctor to get his blood work after he'd gotten his jabs, and his doctor found disturbing things in his blood and said, "You need to have your blood clean immediately." So he went through a process. I think it's called plasmapheresis or plasmapheresis. It's a, basically it's a machine that it'll circulate and clean your blood as you go through it. He talked about these giant needles that are put in you in order to do the procedure.
Wow.
And he had it done twice during a 6-month period. He did it and then he did it again. And I believe on the second time that he had it done, the nurse that was attending him at the end of the procedure, she found a white fibrous clot in his blood.
And
he was joking about it on the couch with this guy. And this was back in June. But on July 1st, unfortunately, he died of a brain aneurysm.
Ah.
So my guess is that, you know, there was another clot in his body that wasn't detected. It broke loose, probably caused an aneurysm.
Well, the problem, if I understand this right, from hearing what you've said before, talking to Dr. Chudy, Mikovits, talking to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, talking to Dr. Brian Hooker, the problem is that the spike proteins that are in here, they lock in. And so there is not a mechanism that, as I understand it, that truly can wash them out. I mean, you literally would have to do a complete blood transfusion and remove all of the blood that was in the body when the injection was happened and put somebody else's blood, some other blood supply in, and somehow create even, and I don't even know, I'm sure they maybe could figure it out, but you'd have to create an entirely different, a true break, because any part of the contaminated blood that still is in or intermingled at all potentially contains these microbic.
Well, and unfortunately, elements. Pastor Greg, that may not help you either, because Dr. Arne Burkhardt, a famous pathologist, unfortunately, he passed away a few months ago. He was a very old gentleman, but he was a German scientist and pathologist. Showed slides of the spike protein from the vaccine being found in all organs of the body, liver, spleen.
I wondered about that.
Testicles, yeah. Ovaries,
yeah.
All it passes over the blood brain barrier.
Yeah.
So even if you did a transfusion, remember you've churned a lot. The vaccine's job is to get into perfectly healthy cells and then turn them into spike protein factories to create the spike protein.
So, right.
But here, there is some good news on that front.
Okay.
Dr. Peter McCullough, the world famous cardiologist.
I've had Peter on my program. Sure.
Yeah, they've seen some promise in a couple of over the counter medications. One of them, the most promising one, looks like it's nattokinase, N A T T O K I N A S E. It's an extract from soy products. And you can buy that over the counter. They've also another one's called bromelain. And there's also another one called NAC and curcumin also have been, those four over-the-counter drugs have been, seem to be helpful in breaking down these white fibrous clots. Because as you're right, our body, we have an enzyme called plasmin that we use to break down normal clotting when it grows in the body.
Right.
But if the proteins are misshapenly folded, it becomes hard for that enzyme plasmin to attach to the clot. So then the clots tend to persist. So that's why
let's take a quick break. One of the, because I take this regularly, it's quercetin with bromelain.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
And I, you know, like we said, I mean, I've not taken any of the jabs or what have you, but I can tell you that when I had the COVID, which I did have, that when I started taking the quercetin with bromelain, when I added that to what I was already doing, that had an immediate impact on me getting
because
better.
COVID itself is dangerous, like you say. There's a spike protein on the surface of the COVID virus itself.
Right.
And now and in fact, there's been some studies out that the worst combination you can get is if you're catching COVID at the same time or around the same time that you're getting the COVID-19 vaccines.
All right, we're going to take the break. We'll be right back. We got more coming up for you right here on Chosen Generation Radio.
So up next, we have CleanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. CleanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My special guest, retired Major Thomas Haviland, and we're talking about the white clots that have been discovered in these autopsies that have been being done by the gentlemen who are the embalmers. And you can see, if you're watching us in the video, you can see pictures. This is glass cylinders with these fibers from different individuals that they were involved in embalming. Here is the fibers laid out on a white piece of paper. You can see where they had pulled these out. And then here's another picture of another embalming that involved them finding these white fibers. And we were talking about the numbers of individuals that have passed away. Let me ask this question, and then we'll go into the other thing that we were talking about as we came into the break. But that is the question about, well, okay, if, you know, I mean, if we take this hypothesis and run with it, why aren't we seeing massive amounts of people just keeling over from having these fibers, you know, in them?
Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, people can continue to live with the white fibers clots in them if they're not large enough to completely block a vein or artery. So people may be growing inside people, and those people may not be realizing it. Also, when people got the vaccine, if the vaccine is indeed causing this, which I think it is, or at least exacerbating it, but if people got the vaccine, they may have not gotten what's called a hot batch. They may have gotten a more mild batch, or maybe something, a batch that doesn't produce any kind of negative side effects at all. A study just came out of Denmark about a month ago where they showed that the batches of Pfizer that were being produced by BioNTech, which is the company that produces that shot for Pfizer over in the UK and Europe, it showed that the batches of the vaccine fell into three main categories. There was about 5% of the batches that were giving a tremendous number of negative adverse side effects to them. Then there was another set of batches that would give basically mild adverse events. And then there was another series of batches that would give almost zero side effects to them, which actually some people suspect might even be placebo, because of the fact that they're presenting zero side effects. It's right. Kind of strange. And in fact, I think in the German regulators who are supposed to, they check the vials before they go out, or, you know, samples from each of the batches before they go out. And the regulators checked all the batches that then were eventually marked as bad. They also checked all the batches that were eventually marked as mild adverse events. But strangely, of the batches that went out that were wound up to give no side effects, they only checked one of those and then let the rest of the batches go, almost as if the regulators knew we don't need to check these batches because they haven't got the active ingredient in them. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it sure is suspicious. But in any event, that could be one of the reasons why, not everybody is dropping over and dying suddenly, even though you got the vaccine.
Right.
Also, you know, we know that when people got the vaccine, they were supposed to be kept at very cold temperatures in order to keep the mRNA active. And that, you know, a lot of people got their shots in the summertime, and, you know, like at a stadium in a line or at a local CVS pharmacy or Walgreens, where they may not have been keeping the vials at the very low temperatures, below zero temperatures that they were supposed to be kept at before they're given. So the chances are you might have gotten an inert shot where the mRNA was, you know, inert and no longer active, which in this case is actually a good thing for you if you got it.
Sure, absolutely. So. Okay, go ahead. There was another topic that we were going to talk about before we got into the break. Do you remember what we were visiting about?
Well, one of the things I want to mention to your folks is, you know, it's not just these white fibers clots, which I'm trying to get attention to, especially, you know, national attention. And thank you for having me on your show to talk about them.
Of course.
Every bit helps. You know, I'm trying to warn the public about the existence of these, because the public, they know about other things like myocarditis. They know about miscarriages, nerve damage, tinnitus, palsies, all kinds of strange things that seem to be linked to these vaccines. And some of the data that's coming out lately, Pastor, has just been tremendous. It's been shocking. Edward Dowd, the BlackRock executive who's done a lot of looking into the insurance data, the insurance side of this, because the vaccine injury data is showing up in the number of claims for disability and the number of death claims that are being applied for in the insurance industry. He just got some recent data from UK from their disability pension data. So it's official government of UK data.
Okay.
People who are disabled applied, you know, for certain disorders, then they'll get put on disability for the rest of their life because they can't work any longer. And the data was separated into different categories like cardiovascular, hematological, which will cover these white fibrous clots, for example, you know, reproductive, all these categories where people are being injured. And the data that was put out by the UK, what Edward Dowd did is he compared the average number of disability claims for the years 2016 to 2019, that four-year period, to the number of claims we've seen the last 3 years in 2020, 2021, and 2022. And in 2020, the year we had COVID but no vaccines yet, the number of claims did go up, for example, in the hematological category, blood disorders, by 16%. So there was a rise in the year of COVID when we had no vaccines.
Okay.
And in 2021, with the advent of the vaccines, the number of claims in the hematological area went up by over 200%.
Wow.
And then in the year 2022, this last year, the number of claims in the hematological area went up by over 500% compared to the 2016-2019 average. So that's Edward Dow calculated that as a 61 sigma event, which basically means it's infinitesimally small chance of that happening randomly.
Right.
It's, you know, it's obvious that something's going on here, and Edward Dowd and I agree, unless you can come up with another explanation for it, the only thing that's really changed is the vaccine, right? That's,
well, and from 2016 to 2019, you didn't even have, I mean, you know, there was some indication of a SARS COVID event taking place in late 2019. But in general, from 2016 to 2019, that wasn't in play either.
Right. But when the claims go up by 200% in 2021 and 500%, five times the number of disability claims. And by the way, Edward Dowd, the amount of
I wasn't challenging what you were suggesting. I was just saying that, you know, you know, because we did say that, you know, even the COVID itself, just having that,
yes,
you know, can, you know, because let's be clear, and we've discussed this on this program, COVID was a biological weapon. It was designed as a biological weapon. Now, some people say, well, why, you know, if it was a weapon, boy, it did a really poor job. No, actually, it didn't do a poor job, because it did exactly what it was intended to do. It conditioned people to being shut in their homes without the need for martial law. It conditioned people to tell on one another if you weren't following the orders, if you weren't wearing your mask, if you weren't doing certain things, then you were supposed to report the people who didn't do those things. Guess what? They did. And then they had allowed them, the government, to be able to quarantine certain areas with no explanation. Just shut areas down and say, oh, you can't go there. You had ministers, you had Catholic priests telling their people, you cannot come onto the property and you cannot come into the church.
And you're right, COVID itself is damaging, especially to people over 70 years old with comorbidities. COVID was a dangerous virus. But I believe that the COVID-19 vaccines are actually more dangerous than the virus itself,
you have to think about, you know, okay, so not only did they release the virus, but then they also, I mean, it's like a James Bond movie, but then they also released, you know, supposedly the cure, and actually right. The cure was a bigger killer than the virus itself. And then you add to that this rush to inject. And again, you know, it's interesting now, because when you watch what they're doing, look at what some of the developments, including guys like Elon Musk, who are talking about, well, we want to inject you so that way you can have a chip in your brain. I mean, yeah. The technology to be able to create that there's a connection. I know you say, oh, now, Pastor, you've really gone off the deep end. No, I'm not off the deep end. Pay attention. They say follow the science. Well, pay attention to the science here.
The good news is, though, Pastor Greg, I think people are paying attention. And as you may know already, even though 80% of Americans over the age of 18 got at least the first two jabs. This is according to the CDC's vaccination tracker site. Only 20%, one out of five Americans, have taken the latest Omicron bivalent booster that came out last September. So it's been a total flip from four out of five U.S. adults taking the jabs to only one out of five U.S. adults taking the latest jab. So I think they're figuring things out. They realize, hey, I took the shots. I got COVID anyways. So that's not stopping from catching or transmitting COVID.
Yeah.
And they're hearing more about these negative side effects, you know, like the white fibers clots, myocarditis, you know.
Well, and they're asking questions like, for example, you know, what did happen to, you know, Bronny? You know, what did happen? There have been several famous incidences where people are just, you know, falling over, unable to continue, had to cancel performances and things of that nature. And you know, people that folks, you know, love and care about, entertainers that people love and care about, and they're gone.
Well, and I think also people are being touched in their own lives. Most people know somebody by now who's been vaccine injured, you know, is not a celebrity, just somebody, a friend or a family member who's been injured by the jabs, or unfortunately maybe even been killed by the jabs, or they suspect that they have. And there's the antenna of the American public is starting to go up. And it's being supported by overwhelming data, Pastor Greg. I'll give you a couple more examples of the ones we've already talked about. There was a recent study that just came out of Basel, Switzerland, about myocarditis, saying that it's not as rare as the CDC is trying to tell you that it is. They looked at 777 healthcare workers who got the latest Moderna booster, and out of those, 22 of them developed myocarditis or pericarditis. That's one in 35. And so this is not a rare thing. And that actually backs up a study that was done last year in the country of Thailand, where they had 301 teenage high school kids that they checked their hearts, using EKGs, MRIs, and checked their troponin levels before they got any shots at all. Then they gave them two jabs of Pfizer. Then they checked their hearts again. And out of the 301 kids, seven of them developed either myocarditis, pericarditis, or subclinical myocarditis. Myocarditis, by the way, is heart inflammation. Pericarditis is inflammation of the sac around the heart. So this is devastating. That's a one in 43 number. So those two numbers corroborate each other from that study, and it's telling us that myocarditis is much more common than the FDA and the CDC are letting on. Another study that's equally shocking, as I talked about earlier, one of the worst things is when you can get these. If you happen to catch COVID within the same 21-day period that you've taken your latest booster or COVID jab. A study came out of Emory University in the state of Georgia in our country, and they looked at cases where that happened, and it increases your chances of having a stroke, of having what's called an ischemic stroke, by 8 times, and it increases your chances of having a hemorrhagic stroke by 5 times. An ischemic stroke is a case where a clot is blocking an artery that's going to the brain. A hemorrhagic stroke is a case where the blood vessel, the artery itself, ruptures and then blood spills onto the brain. Both of them are obviously deadly. But can you imagine that if you get the shot and happen to catch COVID in that same 21-day window, your chances of those two types of stroke go up by either eightfold or fivefold. So this is dangerous, right? And I think people are starting to think twice about taking these jabs, thankfully.
Oh, well, yes, thankfully. I just want to point, folks, I'm posting it right now. There, we have a prayer that I just mentioned just a little bit ago to help reverse the effects of vaccine. And I think what people also should understand about the vaccine situation is, yes, there are some specific characteristic elements in this vaccine that are being found. But as Dr. Judy Mikovits has said, and many on her team identified back in the 1980s, there are vaccine contamination issues for any vaccine you've ever injected for the last 60 plus years. any vaccine you've injected because they didn't realize the breach in the barrier between the animals in which they incubated these vaccines and humans, and what would happen when they extracted those incubated viruses out of the animal, bringing with them these dormant issues that for an animal weren't a problem, but for humans suddenly created a genome crisis. And so there are issues associated. The increase in Alzheimer's, the increase in Parkinson's, dementia issues, all of these, you know, elderly issues now that we deal with. Cancers, my God. I remember when I was a kid growing up, if somebody had cancer, that was like a freaky deal. People didn't get cancer. Nobody had cancer. Cancer was like a 1 in 100,000. Now cancer's like, I think, something like 1 in 6 will experience cancer.
Pastor, you're absolutely right. You know, yeah, and people are, parents especially, are starting to rethink how many vaccines they need to give to their children. We've seen that this is now put into question. How good a testing did the Big Pharma actually do on all these vaccines that we've been given to our kids? You know, the whole schedule of 72 vaccines you're supposed to have by the time you're 18 years old. And people are starting to look into some of the studies in the past where they were looking at things like mercury, aluminum, those kind of things in the vaccines, especially causing childhood autism. This has been a good wake-up call, right? It's given Americans now are starting to reevaluate, and I think a lot of parents are going to decide, I'm not going to give my kids who were born with a completely awesome God-given immune system, I'm going to stop giving them these vaccines.
Well, let me share this, and I went ahead and posted this on my Facebook page. There's an interview on the Larry King Show of Jim Carrey and Jenny McCarthy talking about the vac in 1989. Mm-hmm. Talking about the research that they did and why they chose to slow down the injection schedule for their son. And I'm going to tell you, my wife and I, 5 kids, that's about when we started realizing that my eldest daughter got her injections as a child and had major reactions. And it was at that point my wife started investigating it and going, whoa, hold the phone. And we slowed everything down. Unfortunately, California has a, I think it's called the MMR mandate, and they slipped that one in on our last child. And as a result of it, autism and cerebral palsy, and he had a stroke.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, the measles, mumps, rubella. Yeah, wow.
Yep, he had a stroke. And Children's Hospital in Madera verified the stroke.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Hey, now, by the grace of God, we've been praying over him, and he's, you know, you wouldn't initially identify a lot of that, you know, now at 16. Yep. But there was a time when it was a major thing. But the point is that, you know, folks, as Tom has said, be so diligent and so careful. I have just reposted the Vax Reversal Effects prayer at chosengenerationradio.com. It's in both the health section and my personal blog. Pray that prayer. There's instructions there to read. Read the instructions in the first paragraph, and then gather your family together and pray the prayer, please.
You know, one of the reasons we've seen all this is I believe that the medical establishment, the regulatory agencies, they're captured by Big Pharma, Pastor. And, you know, doctors are incentivized to, the more kids they get to take the vaccine schedule, for example, the more bonuses they get from their healthcare companies.
Yep.
So they're incentivized to push the jabs. And of course, you know, Big Pharma wants to make their billions of dollars. The last thing they want to do is have to scrap this mRNA lipid nanoparticle delivery system technology. And you can see they're coming out with new shots using this technology. They're going to ask us to take COVID shots this fall. They want us to take a flu shot based on the mRNA technology. For the elderly people, they want to take an RSV vaccine to go against the RSV virus that's based on the mRNA technology. They have a shingle shot out using mRNA technology. And my advice to your viewers is to stay away from, because I don't think that our Congress is going to do anything. I wanted them to put a moratorium on this to actually stop these shots, remove them from the market, because I don't believe the big pharma has proven they're safe and effective.
Well, to your point about the big pharma situation, bear in mind, and this is something Dr. Mike, I mean, I was banned on LinkedIn, YouTube, Vimeo, and Twitter. And in part, LinkedIn, Vimeo, and YouTube in particular were specifically because of my interviews with Dr. Judy Mikovits. Specifically, immediately they went down and I had three interviews with her and they blackballed me on all three of those and then said you're done. Now here's the thing, Dr. Mikovits, and in her book. She writes about, I think, three of her colleagues were suicided. They were murdered.
Oh, my goodness.
They were murdered.
Oh, my goodness.
And she was in hiding and in fear for her life for years. They tried to strip her of everything. They accused her of stealing from them when she took her own notebook home. Her own notebook. Home.
Wow.
But here's the thing. Her research initially was lauded and she was awarded for having discovered essentially what they believed to be was the cause of AIDS and so on, and how vaccines were playing a role in the destruction of the autoimmune system. And, oh, this is wonderful. Until the lawyers for Big Pharma got a hold of her work. And they went to the big bosses at Big Pharma and said, you realize now that you have potentially opened up a Pandora's box of liability if you don't renounce all of this.
Yeah.
And so they went from, you're a hero, and we're going to work on it, and we're going to fix it, and we're going to, because she wasn't saying vaccines are bad. She was saying, yes, vaccines have a really great purpose. We can use them. We've got the technology. We've got the know-how. We can help people build their immune systems by introducing, the polio and the different things of that nature. And that's all well and good. But the way we've been doing it is harmful to human beings.
Mm. Yes.
And we need to change our methodology. That's it. That's all she was saying.
Wow. Yeah. Anything that threatens their bottom line dollar wise, I think they go against. And that's why they've done a very good job actually of silencing our side, and they've made people cower in fear. Thank goodness there's a few brave doctors like, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Corey, Dr. Ryan Cole that have come out and spoken out.
Brian Artis.
Yep. There's lots of them out there.
Tom Renz, the attorney that's doing a lot of the fighting. Lay, I forget Lay's last name, but I've got her video that we play. But Lay Dundas.
Yeah, and that's the problem that we had in our embalmer blood clot survey that I did. A lot of embalmers did not want to answer the survey because they were afraid of repercussions for themselves or their funeral homes. But, despite that's why we allowed them to answer the survey anonymously.
Sure.
And I got the responses that we did get. But yeah. I'm happy anytime a barber does want to come forward and let me know what they're seeing, whether they're seeing the clots or not. They can reach me at thomashavlin@sbcglobal.net and let me know what they're seeing in the embalming room. I like to talk to them.
Yep. Well, and that's, how many have you talked to so far, Tom? Do you know?
I've talked to probably a dozen to 15 different embalmers who publicly admit it. Now, when I was down in Alabama last week for the interview I did with Cheryl Atkinson with embalmer Richard Hirschman, we went around to three different funeral homes in that area, and privately, every single one of the people in those funeral homes told us that they were indeed seeing the white fibrous clots. However, they didn't want to speak out publicly,
right,
because of repercussions to their business and their funeral home.
Yeah.
So they were all applauding Mr. Hirschman for having the courage to stand up and tell everybody publicly what he's seeing, but they themselves didn't want to go public with it.
Yeah.
So that tells you what's going on, Pastor Greg.
Well,
there's still
yeah.
a tremendous fear.
Absolutely.
Because they're worried about backlash from Big Pharma.
Yeah.
I'm in the unique position that I'm retired. So I'm drawing a retired Air Force major's pay. I'm also getting Social Security. So I did this as a labor of love. I'm not getting any money for it.
Right.
But I do it because I love my fellow man. I was curious. I wanted to find out for myself, are these white fibrous clots really a thing or not?
Mm-hmm.
And boy,
mm-hmm.
I found out that they are. They are indeed. They exist and they're prevalent.
Well, and once you know, now there's an onus, you know, that you feel that you've got to let other people know and make people aware of what's really going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's God wants us to do that, right?
Absolutely.
He doesn't want us to be a blind sheep. He wants us to know the truth. And even if the truth is ugly or it's horrible, the truth needs to be spoken.
Well, at the end of the day, we're talking about saving lives.
Amen.
At the end of the day, we're talking about saving lives, and we're talking about trying to end a very potentially horrific situation that continues to exacerbate. And there's no greater example of that than the recent events that involved LeBron James' son, Bronny. And, you know, while I don't agree with a great deal, in fact, I don't watch the NBA in part because I don't want to support LeBron James and some of the things that he's involved in with China and slave labor and so on. But all of that set aside, you know, I don't wish any ill physically.
Right.
And I certainly don't want, you know, his son to be going through what he's going through. And so I pray that his son will get well. And I pray that LeBron will hear truth and reevaluate. I know he's he's a billionaire. And all. Listen, man, your billions are not going to buy your way out of hell.
Exactly.
Your billions are not going to, unless they're, you know, it's just, and so change direction, man. I'm going to play something here. It's called At the End of the Day. I'm going to play this to kind of close out our hour together, because I think it fits exactly with what we were just talking about, the responsibility that we have as believers to be engaged and to be involved in what's going on. And at the end of the day, God is going to say, you know, what did you do with the freedoms and the liberties and the knowledge and the understanding and the things that I've given to you? What have you done with it? And we're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to give an answer as to what we've done. So, folks, I'm going to close out with At the End of the Day. Again, Thomas Haviland at sbcglobal.net. Thomas Haviland at sbcglobal.net. If you've got a story to share, let's get that information over to him so that way he can follow up with you and help you to share your story. I'll be back. Hour number two coming up. E. Calvin Weisner will be with me on the other side. Thank you, Tom. God bless you, sir.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. that no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.